Be ready. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Worth the price of admission today just to hear this. The general argument of the common man is that since the Lord is not visible to our eyes, how can one either surrender unto Him or render transcendental loving service unto Him? To such a common man, here is a practical suggestion given by Srila Shukadeva Goswami as to how one can perceive the Supreme Lord by reason and perception. Actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses, but when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by a practical service attitude, there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy, and such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. It's like poetry, isn't it? He can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. May I repeat that? Yes? He can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. Intelligence is the form direction. It's a hyphenated word, form direction. The presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize, even for the common man. The procedure is as follows. One can perceive one's self-identification and feel positively that he exists. He may not feel it very abruptly, but by using a little intelligence, he can feel that he is not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, the head, the hair, and the limbs are all his bodily parts and parcels. But as such, the hand, the leg, and the head, etc., cannot be identified with the self. Can you do that? Okay, let's try it. So he's saying, here's the procedure. Procedure as follows. One can perceive one's self-identification and feel that one positively exists. Okay, so let's do that first. You have to become aware that you positively exist. Are you ready for that? Because actually, as I was saying a few weeks ago, there are... states we go in throughout the day in which we're not aware that we exist. What are those states? They're like trance states. I read in a book, a psychologist wrote this. It was a book about writing. And he was a psychologist who wrote the book. And he was saying that when he first learned psychology, he learned hypnotism, how to hypnotize people, because it's a useful tool in helping people. So then when he observed what a hypnotized state was, he said he realized that throughout the day, most people are hypnotized. Most people are in a hypnotic state. They're in a trance-like state. Some people watching television, they're just in a state, right? They sit there and they just watch. And someone says something to them, and then they say, yeah. Or another example, very common, you might drive home, right? From your from wherever you work or live, well, you drive to your work or you drive home, and you arrive there, and you weren't even aware that you were driving, you just drove yourself, right? You do that all the time. It's like, I'm home. How did I get here? I drove. You were in some kind of a trance. So we may not be fully aware that we exist. So the first instruction here is that one can perceive one's self-identification and feel positively that he exists. So let's take 30 seconds. Everyone must close their eyes and feel that you exist. Close your eyes. Everyone close your eyes and just relax. Take a deep breath. Take a natural deep breath and inhale, exhale, not forcing it, just naturally. And now feel how the sound vibration in the room just naturally enters into your ears without you having to do anything. And now feel how on your arms there's some heat naturally, and you're conscious of it. So you're sitting within the body, sound vibration is coming into your ears, there's heat in your body, and you're conscious of it. So you're witnessing, you're watching. Okay? So you exist. You're conscious, you exist. So next is, He may not feel it very abruptly, but by using a little intelligence, he can feel that he is not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, the head, the hair, and the limbs are all his bodily parts and parcels. But as such, the hand, the leg, and the head, etc., cannot be identified with his self. Therefore, just by using intelligence, he can distinguish and separate his self from other things that he sees. So the natural conclusion is that the living being, either man or beast, is the seer, and he sees, besides himself, all other things. So there is a difference between the seer and the seen. Now, by a little use of intelligence, we can also readily agree that the living being who sees the things beyond himself by ordinary vision has no power to see or to move independently. All our ordinary actions and perceptions depend on various forms of energy supplied to us by nature in various combinations. Our senses of perception and of action, that is to say, our five perceptive senses of 1, hearing, 2, touch, 3, sight, 4, taste, and 5, smell, as well as our 5 senses of action, namely 1, hands, 2, legs, 3, speech, 4, evacuation organs, and 5, reproductive organs, and also our 3 subtle senses, namely 1, mind, 2, intelligence, and 3, ego, 13 senses in all, are supplied to us by various arrangements of gross and subtle forms of natural energy. And it is equally evident that our objects of perception are nothing but the products of inexhaustible permutations and combinations of the forms taken by natural energy. As this conclusively proves that the ordinary living being has no independent power of perception or of motion, and we undoubtedly feel our existence being conditioned by nature's energy, we conclude that he who sees is spirit, and that the senses, as well as the objects of perception, are material. The spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction when the limited state of materially conditioned... The spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of materially conditioned existence. That is the difference between spirit and matter. There are some less intelligent arguments that matter develops the power of seeing and moving as a certain organic development. But such an argument cannot be accepted because there is no experimental evidence that matter has anywhere produced a living entity. Trust no future, however pleasant. Idle talks regarding future development of matter into spirit are actually foolish, because no matter has ever developed the power of seeing or moving in any part of the world. Therefore, it is definite that matter and spirit are two different identities, and this conclusion is arrived at by the use of intelligence. Now we come to the point that the two things which are seen by a little use of intelligence cannot be animate unless we accept someone as the user or director of the intelligence. Intelligence gives one direction like some higher authority, and the living being cannot see or move or eat or do anything without the use of intelligence. When one fails to take advantage of intelligence, he becomes a deranged man. And so a living being is dependent on intelligence or the direction of a superior being. Such intelligence is all-pervading. Every living being has his intelligence, and this intelligence, being the direction of some higher authority, is just like a father giving direction to his son. The higher authority who is present and residing within every individual living being is the super self. Any comment so far? Question or objection? Want your money back? Okay. At this point of our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of material nature, yet we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving or I am doing. Therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body, and that the superior principle of superself is guiding and supplying us according to our desire. By taking advantage of the guidance of superself in the form of intelligence, We can either continue to study and to put into practice our conclusion that I am not this body, or we can choose to remain in the false material identification, fancying ourselves to be the possessors or doers. Our freedom consists in orienting our desire either towards the ignorant material conception or the true spiritual conception. We can easily attain to the true spiritual conception by recognizing the super-self, Paramatma, to be our friend and guide, and by dovetailing our intelligence with the superior intelligence of Paramatma. The super-self and the individual self are both spirit, and therefore the super-self and the individual self are both qualitatively one and distinct from matter. But the super-self and the individual self cannot be on an equal level because the super-self gives direction or supplies intelligence and the individual self follows the direction. And thus, actions are performed properly. The individual is completely dependent on the direction of the super-self because in every step, the individual self follows the direction of the super-self in the matter of seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, willing, etc. So far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion that there are three identities, namely matter, spirit, and super spirit. Now if we go to the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic intelligence, we can further understand that all three identities, namely matter, individual spirit, and the super spirit, are all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is right down your alley. The super self is a partial representation or plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita affirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead dominates all over the material world by his partial representation only. Verse, Kishore. The Bhagavad Gita affirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead dominates all over the material world by his partial representation only. End of the 10th chapter. Go ahead. Krishna's talking all about his opulences in the 10th chapter. And then he says, just by a fragment of myself, an ansha, I'm controlling all these things. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Ah. You got it? Okay. You want to read it? In the Shloka books on page 122. In the Bhagavad Gita it's on page 486. Could someone please read it into the microphone?
But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the entire universe.
Sanskrit.
Athava bahunaitena kim jnatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekamsena stito jagat.
God is great, and he cannot be simply an order supplier of the individual cells. Therefore, the super self cannot be a full representation of the supreme self, Purushottam, the absolute personality of Godhead. Realization of the super self by the individual self is the beginning of self-realization. And by the progress of such self-realization, one is able to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary conception of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the further explanation of the science of Godhead. So if we stick to our determination and pray for the mercy of the director of intelligence, sitting within the same bodily tree, like a bird sitting with another bird, as explained in the Upanishads, certainly the purport of the revealed information in the Vedas becomes clear to our vision, and there is no difficulty in realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. The intelligent man, therefore, after many births of such use of intelligence, surrenders himself at the lotus feet of Vasudev, as confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, which states, Bahunam jamanamante gyanavamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sadurlabaha. After many, many births and deaths, one comes to knowledge and surrenders unto Vasudeva as everything. So we've been talking about intelligence, the use of our own intelligence to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the reason, one reason that we came to that was because we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, where Lord Krishna is speaking to his devotee, Uddhava. And he tells him the story of how Maharaj Yadu met an avaduta who was self-realized. And he asked him how he became self-realized, and he named 24 gurus. And in the context, those gurus were mountain, tree, water, pigeon, karari hawk, arrow maker, prostitute. Go through a whole list of, and Lord Krishna says, one's own intelligence can become a shiksha guru to direct one, even reacting and interacting with the elements of the material world to realize God everywhere. So we've been talking about how it's important to use our own intelligence, and Prabhupada so definitively gave us this understanding in this verse of how we have a choice at every minute to use the intelligence by hearing and chanting, and also by taking the form direction. Krishna's form direction. Super soul is the form direction. The intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. And if we pray for good intelligence, and then we obey what Krishna is saying, and we follow that direction, we'll come to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many other ways that Krishna helps to direct us. But internally, we must take direction from Krishna. We must hear how Krishna is speaking to us. What do you think? Yes.
How can we tell the difference between the intelligence and our conditioned rascal mind?
Well, then you have to triangulate, because you also take help from Shastra and Guru. Because if you take just your intelligence all the time and say, well, I'm just listening to God, then you can end up going off the mark. But if you corroborate that intelligence that you're getting, the direction that you're getting with scripture and also with guru and sadhu, then it's like if you put one point on a page and then you draw lines, you can go from any direction through that line, correct? But if you put two points then and you connect, you have to draw a straight line. So when you have, when you're able to corroborate, if you're taking intelligence, then you corroborate with guru, you corroborate with scripture and sadhu. Like sometime, there's a story that some devotee was saying to Prabhupada when he first started chanting, probably still feeling the effects of LSD. But he was saying, every time I chant, this blue light surrounds me. He said, what does it mean? Prabhupada said, keep chanting, it'll go away. Whereas if someone just took their own intelligence, which may be contaminated, as you say, by material nature, to be the absolute authority, they might think, oh, I've realized God. It's blue, after all. And maybe that's Krishna. But, you know, you can corroborate these things and understand. Hare Krishna. Do you like this section? The intelligence? Any other comment? Okay, then let's use our intelligence to put all the books back in the shelf. We have a nice situation here. We have all the books for reference here. And a lot of places I travel, I notice, you go in the temple room and there's, you may not have this much facility. It's a good idea. You had something, yeah. Yeah. Could you have the microphone?
Higher than the mind is intelligence, and higher than the intelligence is false ego. So when we apply our intelligence, the false ego comes into the picture. How do we deal with
it? In the same way, you know, until the false ego can become purified, it's false ego because it's misidentifying with matter. But as Prabhupada pointed out in this purport, we must begin by, in the beginning process, he said, first see that you exist, now see that you exist independent of matter. Use your intelligence to discern that. Introspect and see that. And false ego means I'm this body. You have ego. It's not that the ego will be obliterated, but real ego means to understand that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, and Krishna is supplying me intelligence, and I'm different from the body. So you can do that by purifying the intelligence, purifying the false ego. False ego becomes real ego. Indriyani prayanyahur indribhya paramana manasastu parabhudhir yo buddhe paratasusa. Above the senses is the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, above the intelligence is the soul. Above the soul is the super soul. Yes.
Today we read that when Krishna was instructing Uddhava, he said that demigods were praying to him to return to the spiritual world. And my question is, even though Krishna is done with all whatever he had to do here, why do demigods want him to go?
Well, like in the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has Advaita Acharya calls for him at a certain time, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed Advaita Acharya that now my or Advaita Acharya informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of a poem, saying that now there's no more demand for rice in the market. And Mahaprabhu read it. Everyone else said, "What is he talking about?" And Mahaprabhu read it and he said, "Okay, I'm leaving. Time to give up my earthly pastimes." So when the demigods come, priyartam, they come ahead of the Lord on his direction to help him set up the whole stage so he can perform his pastimes. And they also assist him in going back to his spiritual abode. It's kind of like when a whole troop of actors come to town. You know, the head guys come first with the big truck and they set up the tent and the whole thing, and then they work together in that way. So Krishna travels with his road crew, and they set up like that. Yes.
Following up on Ramananda Sakha's mention of that statement where Krishna says that the demigods want me back in Vaikuntha, he also said that now Kali Yuga is going to start. And with that, all the miseries and everything. He declares it. But it seems that he is going to remain neutral. He's going to depart. And Kali Yuga will start with all these miseries and so. It would be a very interesting observation that Krishna doesn't want to interfere there. That although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's not going to change that. He says, this era is going to come, it's going to start. And there will be a lot of hellish things happening in the universe, but that he would remain neutral. He's not going to do anything.
That's true, but then he changes his mind. And that's what in the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Anarpita charim shirat karuna yavatirna kalo samarpayitum unutojvala sabhakti rasa shriyam. He says, Anarpita charim shirat. For a long time, Krishna leaves. And then he thinks, for a long time, I have not given my special mercy to the people. And therefore, I'm coming back now as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Especially, he comes back as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give out even what Krishna didn't give. In fact, there's an elaborate description of this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when Krishna came, he demanded, surrender to me and I'll deliver you. But when the members of the Panchatattva, headed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came, that storehouse of love of God, which was locked when Krishna was here, they went and broke the lock open. They plundered the contents, and then they distributed it to everyone without considering who was a fit or unfit candidate. So there's a divine dispensation in Kali Yuga. Kalim Sabha Jyantyartha. Bhagavatam explains, you could look up this verse, Kalim Sabha Jyantyartha Gunaga Sarabhaginaha Yatra Sankirtanina Iva Sarvaswarto Bilabhyate. It's Karabhajana Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, in the Kali Yuga, Kalim, those who know the essence, the most essential, important point in Kali Yuga, they know that it's actually worshipable, this age. Because just by performing Sankirtan, one can attain all the benefits. Oh, can you have the microphone? Hand the microphone to Sri Govinda Datta.
Kalim Sabha Jayanta Artha Guna Jana Saragraha Bhagina Sara Bhagina Yatra Sankirtane Neva Sarv Swartho Abhi Padhyate. Those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtana.
Sarabhagina. So those who are, they know the essence of things. They know that Kali Yuga is worshipable because Krishna has come back in this age and given a process by the Sankirtan, which you can get everything, all perfection, just by performing Sankirtan. Gopremanande Arivo. So let's put all the... I was in the middle of saying that we're fortunate we have all these books and reference materials. It took a long time to put them together, compile them, organize them. They're all here. This is not ordinary. Not every place has that. But a sign of it, you should feel like if you're not, if you go someplace and that arrangement isn't there, there's not a set of books available, Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya, you should start feeling uneasy, that place. Just like, you should never go on vacation to a place where the Ganga isn't flowing or there isn't a temple. You should feel uneasy about that also, you know. So similarly, if you go to some place and there's not a full set of Prabhupada's books, you should feel uneasy. That's a sign of advancement in devotional service. But you can feel at ease here because even though we're camped in the middle of a parking lot, we have our full set of Prabhupada's books, Hare Krishna. So let's put them away with respect and efficiency. Hare Krishna.